Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to be with you today as we face the issues. I'm thankful that you have joined us. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to a good journey today on this broadcast. Keep in mind, this broadcast is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A program where we do the presentation and you can call in and ask the questions. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. The broadcast issue today, we're going to be talking about our walls around the southern border. If we have walls, should that be considered immoral? Are walls immoral is the basic question. But before we get into that, let me remind you that if we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. As we look at the Scripture, as we see what Jesus said to his disciples, he said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, it's true through the truth of the word of God that we have illumination for our pathway and direction for our lives. This is the reason I challenge you to read the Bible, study the Scripture, know what the Scripture says. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the word of God, we need to understand it is truth. It is not a portion of truth. It is not a little tidbit of truth. It is the full truth all the way through the Scripture, whether it's in Genesis or through the book of the Revelation. It is full truth. So when we turn to Scripture, we're looking at the truth of the Word of God. And so I encourage you and challenge you today, if you would like to join in the dialogue and discussion, we're going to be talking about the building of the wall. You know, all of Hollywood, all or most of the House and the Senate are against the President Trump's desire to protect America from the outside invaders, that we might have protection, especially on our southern border. And we have now Nancy Pelosi that's come out and said that walls are immoral. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm confused. The Bible warns us of a multitude of sins that are immoral and should thus be avoided. Let me just give you some of them, and this is not trying to be complete and, if you please, exhaustive, what the Word of God says. But the Bible says the use of drugs, marijuana, is immoral. It is ungodly. It is sin. Yet Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and most of the House and the Senate are for the legalization of pot across America. Illicit sex, sexual activity, is immoral, ungodly. And yet we have the House and the Senate that's holding hands with and agreeing on the sodomite lifestyle and the agenda of the LGBTQ. Also, we find in the Scripture that abortion is murder. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find the House and the Senate funding abortion. In fact, Nancy Pelosi's first move, after she got the gavel in her hand, she's in the process of passing a legislative agenda that will give about $200 million to foreign countries to keep up the work of murdering babies in the wombs of the mother. Ladies and gentlemen, lying, cheating, and stealing are all immoral. And yet we find the House and the Senate eaten up with lying, cheating, and stealing. Judge Janine's article in her book is The Leakers, Liars, and Liberals. And that's a good exhaustive overview of what you find in Washington. We find, ladies and gentlemen, cheating on your spouse, that is sexual immorality, is a sin. And yet we find that in the House, just in the past few years, some $15.2 million were spent in quiet hush money for those that had been abused sexually by the House members. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. I think it's a lack of biblical integrity, a lack of moral integrity. It's a lack of truthfulness on the part of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to be talking about the wall as being immoral. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to dial in, jump in this discussion, you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you directly through to our studios, right to my microphone. We can have a discussion about this. Ladies and gentlemen, causing a child to stumble and fall with false teachings and with child abuse. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find the House and the Senate, the larger portion of it, especially with what I call the loose likes, lost liberals, and the socialist Democratic Party of today, they find no problem with forcing any kind of sex education, as it is called, on our kids in the schools today. That's absolutely encouraging them to be promiscuous and ultimately have a life of destruction. In fact, we have most of the House and the Senate, including Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, that is all for this agenda, the LGBTQ and the transsexual organization and the transgender mindset, with those that are confused about their sexual identity, not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, that across America, less than 2% of all Americans identify with that lifestyle. And yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, the House, including Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the Senate, that's all for anything that is politically correct. We have just elected in this election cycle the first in American history, an in-your-face transgender woman as being one of the House members. We've just elected an in-your-face, flag-waving, if you please, sodomite that is in one of the House seats that is in favor of all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is when we look at what the Scripture says, and calling immoral, certainly by every stretch of the imagination, you do not find God's word saying anything about a security wall being in any way immoral. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and her ragtag band of socialists and Islamics and President wannabes are now saying a border wall is immoral. We want to talk about that today. We want to see what the Scripture says, what the premises of the Word of God happens to be, and what we should do. If you disagree with this broadcast, if you disagree with the premise and the position that I'm taking, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, socially, morally, ethically, call. I'd like to hear your rationale behind saying that it is immoral for the president to authorize building a wall on the southern border. We could continue, ladies and gentlemen, with a very extensive list in Scripture in relationship to the whole point of the list about things that are immoral biblically. It is something that I find absolutely irrational to find Nancy Pelosi and her band of socialist Democrats are now contending that a national border wall on the southern border in America would be immoral. I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. Just a side note, you may be aware of your audio broadcast is diminished a good bit this morning in quality. It sounds as if you're having to use the cell phone or possibly something wrong with your speaker. But that aside, I appreciate what you're talking about this morning, and I don't want to be overly simplistic, but everything you're talking about is found in the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah. And since this is a Christian program, I certainly don't hesitate to quote Scripture.
Amen.
And you're certainly aware of the six woes of Isaiah chapter 5, one of which says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And then I want to add one more verse that a national radio commentator back in January of 2015 cited, even though he is one of the most unlikely people in the world to do so, but very well one of the largest, has one of the largest radio audiences in the network that you are currently part of. And that verse that he cited was Isaiah 3:12, which says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of the way of thy paths." Putting those two together, we're at a time in human culture that's recurred before, time and time again, in which men have failed to stand up for what is right, and when that essential masculinity dies, the Jezebel spirit
steps forward, and it's not any better manifest anywhere than in Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and the women of that ilk. And they are currently putting good for evil and evil for good. So it's no surprise that Nancy Pelosi, with her dysfunctional thinking and her corrupted spirit, would say, well, we don't need the wall. The wall is immoral. Immoral is, and I won't apologize for saying this, immoral is what the DNC, Democratic National Committee, has foisted upon America in the current edition of the Democrat Party, which is nothing more than abject feminism, which in my lexicon is pure witchcraft. It's there. It's putting good for evil and evil good. It's the demonic inversion. So thank you for your show this morning, and I hope you get the audio matter fixed.
Thank you so much for that comment. I believe you're absolutely 100% correct. The thing that I want to ask, ladies and gentlemen, to Nancy Pelosi and her ilk, I want to ask the question, on what biblical, theological, religious premise do you make the statement and the assertion that a wall is immoral? Because that statement of morality is dealing with moral, ethical, biblical, theological, doctrinal truths. And so, Nancy, to call something immoral is a biblical, religious, theological term. So, Nancy Pelosi, I want to ask you, just what Bible are you reading, or just what are you smoking? I think would be the best question to ask Nancy Pelosi and all of those within her ragtag band of socialists that are trying to prevent America from being a sovereign nation and protecting our borders. Tell me, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, since it is the socialist Democrats that approve and pay with our taxpayer money for abortion, even funding abortion abroad, it is the socialist Democrats that approve legislation to force the sodomite lifestyle on Americans. Nancy and Chuck, it's your socialist Democratic Party that's pushing the approval of marijuana across the nation. Nancy, you are pushing for the approval, and you stand for the LGBTQ agenda. It's the Democratic Party that kicked God out of their platform just a couple of years back. So I want to understand, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and those of the loud-voiced socialists that are now screaming that it's immoral, that we can't have a wall around the southern border to protect the United States of America. The socialist Democrats are absolutely, they've lied about health care when they said pass the bill and then you can read it and see what's in it. They lied about the health care bill and they said if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. So why should we believe Nancy Pelosi and others in the Democratic Party, which I believe just as our caller just said, it's filled with the witch spirit today, that's absolutely demonstrably against anything that is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Nancy, your character assassination on President Trump is immoral. If you want to call anything immoral, it is ungodly. I have never seen it in my lifetime, and I'm still just a little bit this side of 100 years old. I've never seen anything in my lifetime where we have those in such a broad array of those that's supposed to be in leadership that's trying to cut the legs out from under a presidential leader that's trying to protect America from outside harm and danger. Ladies and gentlemen, the major, major, major thing that a president is responsible for, based on my Constitution, is to protect our nation from outside or internal harm and danger that would prevent us from going forward as a nation. Nancy, in your character assassination on President Trump, I believe, according to my Bible, you're in danger of what I would call hellfire and brimstone because it's immoral, it's ungodly. It is not looking at our nation to protect our nation that when you placed your hand on the Bible and swore to do, you're not upholding your sworn oath to protect America. You're concerned, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those in the Democratic National Committee, those of you that are the socialist Democrats today, what you're trying to do is seek power at all costs, even if it means the destruction of the United States of America and our sovereignty. May I remind us, there's an attempt to destroy this president more than in the history of any president in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, just face the facts. Nancy Pelosi and the multitude of those serving in the House and the Senate live in homes that are gated. They're in walled communities, gated communities, and yet they don't consider that to be immoral. check-coded, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. Find out how many of our House members and Senate members, how many of those in Washington in the governmental beltway, how many of those live in gated communities where they have walls around their homes and the protection. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you go back to the history and find the Great Wall of China was built between 400 and 500 B.C., not A.D., but B.C., and we've had walls as far back as we can find in the biblical concept of what is called walls, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. The Pope, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, lives in a wall community with armed security guards, and yet he says that having a wall at the southern border is unchristian. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time we stop listening to the Pope. It's evident that he's gone absolutely bonkers. It's evident that he is unsaved, lost, as a green ball in high weeds. Yes, you heard me say that right. When he says there's no such thing as hell, when he says that everybody eventually will go to heaven, and on and on and on, a number of 8, 10, 12 things he said in the past 18 months, and now saying that the border wall would be immoral, and it would be sin, would be unchristian, I think is the exact word that he used. President Obama, ladies and gentlemen, former President Obama, lives in a state paid for by the taxpayer dollars. We pay some $22,000 a month just for his rent on the residence that he's living in there in Washington. It has a wall. It is a walled villa, if you will, and it has armed security guards at its entrance. And yet we're saying that to put a border wall on the southern border is somehow immoral. Israel has a high wall that is proven to be 99.9% effective in keeping the enemies out of Israel. Remember, Nancy Pelosi says that a wall is immoral. Yet she herself, along with her comrades, live in walled villas, live in gated communities, live in those communities where you have gates and walls and security guards to keep those out that ought not to be in. Building a wall, ladies and gentlemen, is not Christian, according to the Pope. And yet I want to read to you an article about that. Here's an article that says, the Pope says building a wall is not Christian. So what does the Bible really say about a wall? This is by Ben Shapiro. It is a fantastic article. He says here, Pope Francis says Wednesday, a person who thinks only about building a wall, whatever it may be, however it may be built, and not building bridges is simply not Christian. So is Francis correct? Ben Shapiro asked the question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Jewish man, young man. This is a man that is not a professing Christian. This is one, though, that stands for morals and ethics and values, etc. He says, so is Francis correct? Is building a wall in defense of sovereignty and as unchristian? Let me just read you a blurb of what Ben Shapiro says. Well, let's start with the behavior of the Vatican. As I pointed out, immigration policy to the Vatican is highly restrictive. So is security. Historically, the Vatican hasn't been anti-wall either. And it goes on to say the Great Wall surrounding Vatican City, originally erected in 852 CE, the Common Era, he is calling it. We call it AD. In order to prevent another attack like the one by the Muslim pirates who damaged St. Peter's Cathedral in 846, those walls were expanded under Pope Paul III, 1534 and 1549. Pope Pius IV, 1559 and 1565, and Pope Urban VIII in 1623 to 1644. Paul III and Pius IV's expansion, we're talking about the wall around the Vatican, were directed upward toward preventing, notice, the walls were expanded to prevent another Muslim attack on Rome. This pope is worth noting, continues to maintain the Europe ought to increase. The Pope is now saying a wall around America or its southern border is unchristian, but yet he continues to say that we ought to, that the Europeans ought to increase the level of Muslim immigration into the heart of Western territory, end quote. He says, Ben Shapiro continues, then there's a Bible. As I am no Christian, I'll leave the New Testament to those better versed in the subject. I will note, however, that the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is replete with references to usefulness of walls. God allowing enemies to breach the walls of Jewish cities is seen as a brutal punishment in Deuteronomy 28:52. He goes on to talk about Nehemiah text, and we'll talk about the book of Nehemiah in a moment. Further, he says, we're talking about reading excerpts from Ben Shapiro's article on the headline, "The Pope Says Building a Wall Is Not Christian." And he says, so what does the Bible say about the wall? In 2 Chronicles 14, we learn of good King Asa, who did what was good in the eyes of the Lord. He built up the fortified cities of Judah, since the land was at peace. So they built and prospered because of having a wall, according to his writing. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not against building walls. I want us to understand that. It is absolutely untruthful to anybody that says that is the case. And here is an elongated, it's about 5 pages, and I'll not read but a blurb or two from it. Dr. Robert Jeffries, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, preached an entire message at the inauguration for President Donald J. Trump. And he dealt with the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, by the way, is one of my favorite texts in all of the Bible. The book of Nehemiah is fantastic in what it says in the 13 chapters. And the primary focus is that Nehemiah was heartbroken when he discovered that the walls around Jerusalem were still broken down and the gates had been burned and the citizens were in disarray and had been maltreated because of not having the security from the outside intruders. And that's what Dr. Jeffers preached on when he preached the message at the inauguration in January for President Trump, January 2017. Here's what the title of the article says. God is not against building walls. This sermon by Dr. Jeffers was for Donald President Trump before his inauguration. Here's what the article said. Israel had been in bondage for decades, Dr. Jeffers explained, and the infrastructure of the country was in shambles. And God did not choose a politician or a priest, but chose a builder instead. The first step of rebuilding the nation, Dr. Jeffers said, was the building of a wall around Jerusalem to protect its citizens from enemies' attacks from outside. He further says, you see, God is not against building walls. Nehemiah, according to the biblical account, completed the project in 52 days. Ladies and gentlemen, Nehemiah was able to call the people together, and in the third chapter talked about the coordination of the people in doing so. And in 52 days, with 49,942 people involved, they rebuilt the wall and had it secured. And ladies and gentlemen, as you study the book of Nehemiah, you find that after the wall was rebuilt so that it was secure, they had security guards at the gates, and you had to have the proper visas, the proper papers, the proper identification, and the approval to enter into the gates. God did it. God directed Nehemiah to be the builder on the wall. Here, Dr. Jeffers continues to say, why was Nehemiah so successful in building the wall and rebuilding the nation? Dr. Jeffers said that Nehemiah refused to allow the critics to distract him, noting how some people still don't believe Trump can succeed in rebuilding the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you find the Nehemiah and his workers were involved in building the wall, and yet Sanballat and Tobiah, that were the two main enemies, and Dr. Jeffers refers to them as being the fake media, if you put it in today's context, and the Tobiah and Sanballat were involved in trying to deride them, and there was derision, making fun of the children of Israel as they were building the wall. And in doing so, Nehemiah and his followers recognized the criticism for what it was, and simply went to the Lord and basically said, God, you hear what they're saying. God, you see what they're doing. God, you're the one that wants us to do this. God, you're the one that's called us to do this. Protect us. They recognized the criticism. They refused the criticism. They simply refused to do so. In fact, in the fifth verse of the fourth chapter, it says, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builder. So built we the wall. And then the sixth verse says, for guard, because the people have a mind to work. Ladies and gentlemen, always there's the pain of derision when we're doing what God's called us to do. There's the peril of decay in relationship to allowing that to cause one to be discouraged. And we find that was taking place with Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall. And their involvement was criticized. Their inabilities, the weakness they had were criticized. Their intentions were criticized. Their impossible task was criticized. Their inadequacies in every case was criticized. And we find, ladies and gentlemen, that is what is happening today with President Trump in the attempt to rebuild the walls. Here's a further statement from Dr. Jeffers in his article, God is not against building walls. Here's what Dr. Jeffers says in this article. Nehemiah, Dr. Jeffers says, had two antagonists named Sanballat and Tobiah. They were the mainstream media of their day. They continued to hound and heckle Nehemiah and spread false rumors. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll find that in the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. It is absolutely replete with evidence of what Dr. Jeffers is saying. They spread false rumors while he and the Israeli people were building the wall. He noted that Nehemiah always answered the critics when he said, I'm doing a great work and I can't stop, I can't come down, in Nehemiah the sixth chapter, the third verse. And ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump's work is too great for him to allow the critics and the detractors to try to prevent him from doing what God, I believe, has placed him in the position to do. Dr. Jeffers further says, Nehemiah faced setbacks, including the economic recession, terrorist attacks from the enemies, and discouragement from and among the citizens. The true measure of any leader, Dr. Jeffers says, is what it takes to stop him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that none of these critics, including the fake media, and they're now through Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of the other loose-likes, lost liberals in Washington now talking about impeaching the president. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely asinine for them to be calling building the wall an immoral factor when in their lifestyle it absolutely screams immorality. Anytime you have any individual, I don't care what party or what stripe or what background, what ethnicity, if they're for abortion, which is murder, it is immoral. If they are for the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, it's immoral. And yet to call President Trump immoral simply because he's wanting to protect American citizens from the invaders from the outside, ladies and gentlemen, there's a major problem with that mindset. So what does the Bible really say? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it might shock you and surprise you and astound you, but there's some 245 times in Scripture that a wall or walls are spoken of. In fact, let me just read you part of an elongated article. It says, would God / Jesus build a border wall? This topic of whether it's right or wrong to build a border wall is at the very forefront of the conversation today. The Pope has been joined in the U.S. By the liberal media, Hollywood, and millions of others in condemning a great border wall. So what does the Bible teach on this subject? You might be surprised, this article says, to find that the Bible is filled with verses speaking of the wall. In fact, when you find in the Scripture, this article says something like about a border wall, walls are nearly always in the Scripture built around cities in the Bible. Many were huge, according to Deuteronomy 3:5. It is said that the walls surrounding Babylon was 387 feet high and 87 foot thick. Ladies and gentlemen, that would tell us that going all the way back as far as you want to in Scripture, the primary use of walls was for the protection of those who lived outside the city, as well as keeping the animals and the enemy from coming into the city. They kept this article says, the walls in the biblical context kept unauthorized people from entering the city and also protected the people from the attack of the enemy on the outside, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this sounds very similar to why President Trump today and many others want to see the wall being built between the United States of America and Mexico. But the question remains, ladies and gentlemen, did God approve doing this absolutely unequivocally? It seems clear in the Scripture that he did. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the clearest example of that we find in the Scripture in relationship to God's approval of building a wall is found in the book of Nehemiah, 13 chapters dealing with that very subject. But ladies and gentlemen, the wall around Jerusalem was broken down. The gates had been burned with fire. And when Nehemiah heard about that, he fasted and he prayed and he waited on God, and God gave him instructions to rebuild the wall. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, Nehemiah clearly believed that God is behind the work of rebuilding the wall. He says as much in 2:20, chapter 2 and verse 20, the God of heaven will prosper us, therefore we his servants will arise and build. And then in chapters 3 through 6, it records the building of the wall, concluding with Nehemiah 6:15 and 16, saying, so the wall was finished in 20 and 52 days of the month Elul, which is the 52-day period of time. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand today is we need to pray that President Trump will be able to build the wall. Do you realize that the Armed Services Chairman has given a green light on a broadcast on Sunday saying that President Trump has the authority by executive order to get the military to build the wall. And so, ladies and gentlemen, whichever way he has to do it, I am saying yes to him. We need to pray. God help our president build a wall on the southern border. Walls are not immoral. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295, you are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.